Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. Hope you're well. As always, this is another podcast with just me, so deal with it. Just kidding. It's not going to be a client, but I wanted to talk about something important. I made an Instagram post about it, and typically when I make content, and I know it's not the best because these days social media is a business. And what I'm saying is I wake up and I have an idea and I usually film it. So almost everything that you guys see is something I've thought of that morning and I just spend 10 minutes on it and boom, there it goes. Not with YouTube. YouTube is definitely a lot different. It takes a lot more time and effort, and I treat that much different than other social media platforms. But anyway, I made a post today about genetics and why they're so important to be mindful of and to understand. So for an example, a lot of people deal with this. I hear this a lot with my clients. You guys hear this on the podcast a lot. I was out with Burley, and this happens all the time, and it's nobody's fault or anything. It's just, it happens, right? So I was out with Burley this morning and Lakota, and Lakota's off leash in front of me, and I usually walk the dogs after jujitsu. I get home at like 7 a.m., 7-ish, and we go out. And so Lakota's off leash with her Frisbee, happy as can be, and Burley's on his leash. And somebody opens up the garage door, dog comes rolling out, and they're in an invisible fence. And again, it's kind of the same thing as they bark at my dogs. Lakota could care less, doesn't even look at the dog. She keeps going. And Burley gets all worked up. He's still in a heel, but he's getting worked up, growling, not barking, but growling, jumping, like off his front paws. And one thing I see my clients deal with, and you guys probably deal with too, is just getting... So that's genetics. So what that means is first of all, he's an intact male. So he's going to be more aggressive naturally. If you guys remember, and I talk about this often, and sometimes for people who don't know me or know Burley and maybe see a video that pops off and gets millions of views, will say ignorant things, but that's the internet. Like he came, like he was 8 weeks old and was reactive. That's his bloodline. That's his breed. I know that. I'm not upset about that. I know what I was signing up for when I get one of the most protected breeds in the world. So bringing him home at 8 weeks, if you guys haven't seen that, it's on YouTube. It's like the first video I did with him. It's under, like, if you go to my YouTube channel, it's under bringing home the most protective puppy in the world or something like that. Anyway, it's the first video. I brought him home and he reacted towards Lakota and backed her up the moment that they met. And that's just him, right? That's his personality. That's like a baseline Borble. Not all of them, but most of them are extremely confident and protective. And even so anyway, out with Burley this morning, and he's bouncing on his feet and he's staying in his heel. And sometimes I get a little frustrated because, again, I'm used to highly trained dogs who just want to please me and would love to just do something for food or toys. Now, if I introduce food in those situations, it definitely helps. It doesn't stop him from wanting to be a Borble. And my point is as he's reacting to this, and the definition of reactivity in this context is him just jumping on his paws and kind of growling a little bit like, hey, come at me. Because again, like, dogs don't understand that there's an invisible fence, right? So it's literally like somebody running at you with a knife or with their arms up, like they're going to fight. And you're just like, meh, like, of course you're going to react. And especially, again, you got to think about genetics. And so you can't, that's what I made that post about, is you can't delete your dog's genetics. And as you guys know, I talk about this a lot. The last podcast episode was on the stop it syndrome. A little bit of similar synergies there, but I think it's just important for people to have realistic expectations because they are searching for unrealistic achievements or unrealistic goals, and they're constantly trying to do something that maybe is never going to happen. So my point is if I were just an average person and I wanted to hire a dog trainer to say, hey, my dog is, this is what my dog's doing. He's bouncing on his paws. He is growling as this other dog is running after us, of course, not knowing, I know that the dog is on an invisible fence, but my dog doesn't, right? So you get this like super running, reactive barking. And of course, my dog is going to go into defense and try to defend himself, right? And also, it's like, it's a very vulnerable situation. Like he's, so my point is, I can't stop him from being protective. I can't stop him from wanting to defend himself. And the more, and again, like if you look at genetics, let's say maybe a German Shepherd who tend to be protective and vocal, maybe a Rottweiler, a Cane Corso, a Borbol, most dogs are protective. And I think the difference is like Lakota, for an example, who's my Dutch Shepherd, she just, I don't mean to be offensive to Borbols or Burly, but she has, I think she has more emotional intelligence to understand the circumstance is that that dog is going to stop because that dog has stopped before. She's seen that dog 50 times and there's never been an issue, right? So, and to give more context, like this is a particular golden retriever that I had him meet before, and the dog kind of reacted towards him and jumped on him and was a little bit defensive. And so Burley already has it out for him. So anyway, my point is the genetics of a dog and the breed that you have definitely matters. It definitely contributes to the circumstances when you're out with your dog and when you're training. It's the same thing as having a terrier or something that really likes running after things, right? Like rabbits, bunnies, deer, like anything that moves, really. Terriers are more inclined to be more reactive and chase these things. And by reaction, it's just reacting to the external stimulation. And I've been putting these things into word. I saw a doctor the other day on a podcast describe... Well, you guys know me well enough. I don't have to explain myself because this is podcasting, which is why I love it. But it felt really good and validating because he described reactivity the same exact way I've been describing reactivity for years just by off the experiences I've had. So that was pretty cool because I was like, that's exactly how I explain it. And reactivity is essentially, in this context, is the dog reacting to an environmental stimulus, something coming into the environment, and it makes the dog react. And it doesn't always mean aggressive or mean or happy or running or barking or growling. It just means they're reacting to it. And most people, especially my clients, will contact me because their dog is reacting in a way that is unmanageable. They're barking, they're pulling, they're redirecting. And if not understood, then the dog will pull. So it's important to understand, like in my situation and my process in that with Burley is I could correct him, and I have corrected him in the past for continuing to get overly stimulated because I'm basically, so he's in his heel, right? So that's an important part. The other thing that's really helpful for him is putting him into a down. So if I put him into a down, it really limits what he can physically do. But again, there's a dog, I don't know, 20 feet away that's hysterically and habitually barking at him without a structure in front. So the dog is, to him, coming right after him. And so he's going to try to defend himself and me and his other dog. And so I just wanted to put this into podcast form because I can talk a little bit more about it and obviously give more information. And I think, and I know actually that it is really, really helpful for dog owners to understand that when you are going through a walk and you see this dog or you hear this dog on the other side of the fence or on an invisible fence or just on the other side of the road on a leash, you have two personalities. And again, just looking back at Lakota, she's literally wagging her tail, frisbee in her mouth. She could care less, like doesn't even look at the other dog because she's never really had a bad experiences. She doesn't have a bad experience with other dogs. And so she has no fear of these other dogs. And maybe part of it too is like, you know, and I don't know this, she may be looking back at Burley and being like, he's going to handle it. Let the bodyguard handle it. I mean, he's like, again, he's 150 pound solid muscle, body of muscle, right? So again, it's really important like to know the genetics, and it's very diverse. And as I'm working through with Burley, I'm starting to see these genetics and these things pop in my head. I'm like, oh, he's growly. He's a little vocal. He's bouncy as there's another dog 20 feet reacting towards him. And of course, like my dog is more under control and better behaved in this circumstance because he's more trained, right? And so it is, and to give credit to the other golden that's doing this too, it's like it's also weird because the golden you know, thinks, especially with an intact male, as I'm walking through, and they already have like a little altercation. So I think it's just, I want to highlight the idea is you can't delete genetics. You can't tell a dog, a big protective dog, to just ignore things. And to be frank, I wouldn't, but I'm Tom, but to be frank, I would also be almost discouraged and a little upset if a dog came rushing, right? Because the context is a threat. So, you know, I got him to be protective of me and my young family, and I have to do a lot of hard work for probably the first 3 years of this dog's life to really benefit. I mean, I'm benefiting immediately because of the dog's sheer size. I mean, when people come around the house, they know that he's there. They can hear him. They can see him. And then also just like 3 years from now, when he finally calms down and he's more manageable and not acting like a puppy, I'll be able to do more with him and it'll be less work. So, you know, it's very rare that a dog breed will make you train them consecutively and consistently for 2.5 to 3 years. Like that's they do not let off the gas of this puppy behavior until then. And I'm this is my first Bourbon, but it's, you know, I'm talking to the breeder and talking to other Bourbon owners, like that's just how they are. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it's different, right? Like Lakota at 6 months, she was a fully trained level 3 off leash dog and she never changed. She was just perfect her whole life. God bless. Right. So it's important to understand your genetics, and the reality is just having, again, that's why I go over management. Some people, especially in the dog world, kind of poo-poo like the word management because they feel like you're taking shortcuts and you're actually stopping something, and that is the case of the not stopping something. It's not a shortcut. It's just the reality of all you can do. For an example, if somebody brought me a Bourbon and said, when I'm out for a walk and another dog outside of a fence or a invisible fence were to come and bark and rush us, he vocalizes and gets worked up. And I would say, and? Like, I wouldn't personally even, like, take somebody's money to work on that because I would say, that's what you got. You know, it's like, again, if you got a lab and you wanted the lab to do duck hunting with you, and out of the context of going to the fields and doing duck hunting, the lab always wanted to go jump in a random puddle or a pool. And you'd be like, you can't be upset about that. That's literally why you got the dog. It's just out of context of actually why you got the dog, right? To be in the woods and be in the ponds and the lakes, going to capture these ducks and bring them back or whatever waterfowl you're hunting. And so anyway, I wanted to make this genetic podcast because so many people are trying to, you know, really waste their time and their money, and they're working hard and a ton of effort towards trying to delete something that they can't, right? And so that's why I made that post today. And a lot of people in the comments are like, yeah, you can't delete genetics. And that's really important. But again, you can manage it. And I think the hardest thing is, it's hard to tell, like, when is it genetics and when is it misbehavior, right? Like, when is the dog actually checking out, flipping you off and saying,
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm just going to be cheeky and screw you versus genetics, right? And that would, so it's a good conversation, and that would decipher, and in my, and again, my context, which is subjective because that's what dog training is when I'm out with Burley, for an example, and I told him to heel, if he broke his heel and maybe pulled in front of me to lunge towards the other dog, that's when it would be inappropriate. You're getting corrected. Quit the shit. Like, that's not okay. I want you to be alert. You can even react and vocalize a little bit. You're not going to pull me though. And that's exactly what he did today, is he just kind of jumps next to me. And if anybody has working dogs, it was basically like a bark and hold. He was just kind of like rhythmically like, ga-dung, 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 like, you better not come over here. And again, like, I would be kind of upset if he looked the other way. I'm like, really, dude? Like, I'm putting in all this work and doing all this stuff with you and to protect me and my family, and you look the other way when there's a dog actively coming at us, you know? So that's like that's the defining, I guess, gray area there for most dog owners, is just understanding, like, it's not an excuse when you go out with your dog misbehaving and reacting and doing things. It's not an excuse for genetics, because there is again, skill sets that we would put over, or in, you know, the way I explain it is just manners, like basic manners. That's what obedience is. It's your ability to put manners on a dog to live a good life and have an animal live with you, right? So just say the same thing with kids, please and thank you and hold my hand and all these things for safety and for manners, right? And so it's the same thing with dogs. So that would be that gray area, is the moment the dog broke your obedience or your skill sets is when where it's appropriate and warranted for you to be like, no, okay, you can vocalize a little, and it's discretionary, right? Like, depending on the dog, you're not going to pull, and this is just for me, like, you're not going to pull, you're not going to jump up on me and push me, you're not going to try to break my stride as I'm walking. And this is just me personally. I don't mind if you bounce a little bit and get a little growly. That's totally warranted. I get it. But there isn't going to be anything outside of that, right? So I see, especially just in my neighborhood in general, and this goes for literally 90-100% of other neighborhoods out there in the world. When you're out with your dog, there's going to be a good chance, if you're listening to this podcast, there's probably a great chance your dog is going to be more trained than the average dog, right? Because you're putting time into educating yourself and learning more about dog behavior, and you care. And so when you're out with your dog and maybe you see another dog, they're probably not going to be that trained. And typically you get a very binary situation, is the other dog is neutral, could care less, kind of just walks by, sniffs a little bit, you're good, right? The owners are like, yep, this is my dog, nothing new here. And then there's the other side where it's barking, reactivity, pulling. I've even seen some people in my neighborhoods, they can't walk. They just put their dog in a sit and they literally will say out loud, like, you have to move past this because I can't walk my dog. And there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just safety and it's honesty. And that's a better way to do it instead of getting off balance and your dog pulling you. And typically dogs, from my experience that I see that are like that, are usually on harnesses because they're not properly trained, which is, again, I don't care. I don't have any problem with that. My job and my passion is to help people get better if they want to, right? That's my passion. I don't go around telling people, this is how you got to do it. This is how, you know, you should be, you know, if it's dangerous, like, right, I'll say, like, well, the reason why this actually happened and you got dragged out on your face and approached me and my dog in a very dangerous manner is because the equipment you're using is actually encouraging the dog to pull. So you're kind of uphill battle here. And I've had clients like that. There's a client in Oregon that had a English bulldog, like a small little bulldog, pulled her down, broke her arm, pulled her like across the pavement to get to another dog because he was so reactive, and we changed that pretty quick. But genetics matter, guys. They matter a lot. And I think it's a deeper conversation in depth about particulars, right? And you guys will hear it on this podcast when I'm actually working with clients. You know, if I get somebody on here that's again talking about, hey, I got this intact, you know, you guys will hear it, right? And you have, I got this intact 18-month-old, 12-month-old working line German Shepherd, and we're having some reactivity. Oh, okay. Bingo. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen when you have these dogs. And so you just need to know how to cap it, manage it, and have realistic expectations in order to live a happy life. It'd be like me trying to get into the NBA. It's like, I don't have the genetics to get into the NBA. I'm not, like, I'm 5'7", 5'8", right? Like, I'm an average size human being. I'm not NBA status, right? If I walked out there, I would look extremely small. I'd come up to everyone's hips. So that's my point, is like, I'm sitting here, man, I'm trying to like get taller. It's like, you're not going to get taller, dude. Like, that doesn't work like that. It's the same thing with dog genetics. Is it's like, oh, I want my dog to calm down. I'm like, you literally got an intact, or not even, you got a working line Australian Shepherd. You got a working line Lab, Golden Retriever, Border Collie, Shepherd, Malinois. Like, they're all supposed to be super drivey. And if you don't outlet it, that's why I literally started my No Bad Dogs brand. It's because that's what I was seeing a lot in my early careers, as I kept telling people, like, you got, I remember this one family came in, I swear to God on my life, this one family came in, and the animal control officer called me in my town. I work closely with them when I can, or at least my facility does nowadays, now that I'm not training as much at my facilities. Quick little coffee sip. By the way, I'm on half calf right now. Some days I just need a little push after my mud water, because I've been waking up 5 o'clock to do jujitsu 3 days a week. So that's neither here or there. But I remember the animal control called me and said, hey, I got a border collie with a family, like two young kids, like, you know, less than 10, and a mom and dad. And she said, it's got a bite history, bit somebody. And so the dog came in muzzled. And I just consulted with them as a favor of, like, you know, I didn't care if they signed up for training or not. It was more of like a consulting service of like, how can I help you and guide you and roadmap you to more success? And they got it, you know, the border collie's like spazzing out, freaking out. And, you know, it's just not a family that gets a border collie just to have it. I'm like, what the hell's going on? This doesn't make any sense. So anyway, so I said to him, is there, you know, and it was just obvious. It was like an elephant in the room. I was like, is there a particular reason why you got a border collie? And shit you not, they said, we looked up on the internet what the smartest dog was, and that's what we got. And I was like, touche, okay. You're not wrong, you know, but it's like, but that's what I'm saying, is dog owners, likely you guys, a lot of times, like, don't understand, like, these are working animals. A lot of them are like working animals. They really like to work. They need to work. And you know, it's like supercars, right? You can have a Toyota Corolla, which is like your average, normal, fine car, like, you know, not super fast, not super flashy. It doesn't have four-wheel drive, but it gets you from A to B, versus a Ferrari or Lamborghini. It's like, these things exist at this level. I'm not saying monetarily speaking or financially speaking. I'm just saying, like, the difference on the track is much different. And if you don't know how to ride a Ferrari, then it's going to be dangerous or useless or a waste of time. And that's what a lot of people really have a hard time with, is just understanding, like, oh, if you get the smartest dog in the world, I'm like, okay, well, now what are you going to do? Do you have the smartest game plan in the world? No, you don't. You got the smartest dog in the world thinking that they were going to wake up and make you coffee and do fun tricks for your kid's TikTok, and that's not the case. They're actually supposed to be getting up and going to work, right? They're supposed to be going to the farm. They're supposed to be herding animals. They're supposed to be working with you and for you every single day, not sitting around the house when you guys are at school and coming home and expecting the dog to just be chill. You know, so, I mean, that's just a very generic, somebody getting a border collie because it's smart. I mean, it happens all the time, unfortunately. Or, like, people getting Siberian Huskies because they're beautiful. I'm like, okay, well, that's a terrible idea, because they're a really, really, really tough pet to have if you don't have property, or you don't have the time to train, or you don't work from home, right? These are all things that are pretty much mandatory to keep those dogs happy and trained. So, I just want to talk about genetics today, guys. And again, I'm going to start firing off these, you know, these one-offs, just to keep you guys diversifying the content. So it's not, you know, a lot of the redundant stuff that you hear and see on the podcast with the clients. And I'm also, like I said, if you listened to the last podcast, I'm working on getting some new guests on and trying to do that every month. So we are working actively on that. So I'm excited about that, to get you guys some new guests to educate and talk and side quest, side note. If you guys feed raw, that's cool. If you don't, that's also cool. But as you know, I've maybe or maybe not, I've been feeding raw for 6 to 9 years. I can't remember. It's like a window there where one of my dogs was, Lakota was fed since she's a puppy, so she's 9. So there you go, 9 years. And I've been recently feeding We Feed Raw, which does a, I can't remember what the heck it's called, but it's basically a system. It's a let me see if I can find it really quick, but it's called something. Of course, I can't figure it out right now, but it's essentially they use really, really, really cold water at high pressures to kill bacterias and viruses and all the other things that can happen on raw food, like salmonella and E. coli and those things that can spread from raw meat. And so I brought Burley in because he had diarrhea, because I think he got giardia, because there's puddles everywhere and it keeps freezing and unfreezing. Regardless, he's fine now. So maybe it wasn't giardia because it went away in like a day. But anyway, I was in there and she said, just, you know, keep him on a chicken and rice diet, which is common, which I knew. And he was, I was like, well, he eats chicken anyway. And I've been putting some rice in there. And she's like, "Woo, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, he eats chicken." So she's like, "Well, like what?" I'm like, "Raw chicken." And she's like, "What?" And I already knew. And she didn't know. Sometimes the vets that I work with know who I am. They listen to my podcast. They watch my podcast. They know. They don't press me on things like this because they know that I've done my research, or I just do what I do because it's what works for me and my dogs. And so anyway, so she's like, "Well, just so you know, this is literally verbatim what she said. Just so you know, there's chances of E. coli and salmonella when feeding raw." I said, "Yep, typically, but I feed We Feed Raw, which actually does a process where they high pressurize really, really cold water and kills all those potentials." And her mind was like, it almost looked like she didn't believe me. She's like, "Yeah, it's bullshit." But I was like, "Oh, no." So that was interesting. Her eyebrows didn't go down for the rest of the, I think she might have been a little, either didn't believe me or surprised or upset that I corrected her in front of her colleagues. But anyway, hopefully she went home and did some research on that, because it's really helpful and valuable for other people. Because if you're not, and I'm not getting into a raw podcast here, guys, so if you're not interested in raw, you can click off now. But I think the point is I just in my head, I'm like, I'm not interested in feeding processed, highly processed food. And it was just interesting because it happened yesterday, and she was just, it's really fresh in my head. She was like, "Well, you know, you really should be basically feeding this kibble." And I'm like, "Nah, I'd rather just feed like super, super raw meats, organs, hearts, livers, bones. That's what dogs like really thrive. My dogs thrive on." And she was blown away. So it was pretty interesting. But it's like, you know, you think that, you know, I try to do as much research as I can, especially with my podcast, because it's important to stay up to date on what's actually happening and what's changing. And anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope that it was helpful, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.